Full credit where credit is due by you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to accept that you not were wrong because been previously right, but, yes. You know, when things have – we talk about self-improvement on this podcast a lot. You know, we're one of those. And, you know, when things go away and look at what they need to work on and come back a better product, and you just got to give them credit, like you said. So, you know – all will be revealed.
Yeah, ice baths, meditation, that sort of stuff. But
the state of South Australia and their racing in particular has been listening to a lot of self-help podcasts and reading the books, and you've walked through the doors of Moorfield now and there's little saunas and ice baths everywhere. It's self-improvement plan.
Yeah. Hey, it's paying off.
Literally.
It is. It literally is. Second of Portsea might be running this weekend or on Anzac Day, so you'll have to tune in to the Instagram to see that. But sensational racing in South Australia, unbelievably. The Brisbane Carnival is kicking off as well. If you were to have a bet this weekend, where would you do it?
With the good people at Ned's, definitely. You can do everything you want with them. You can get weird and exotic as well, which I know you like a lot. You've provided a few tips for one of the features where, you know, maybe if you were interested in a Ned same race multi, you could chuck that on and it'd give you some juicy odds, I think. And maybe you could follow us in as well with the Ned's profiles.
Yeah, yeah. If you like what we're putting down on the day, just go to our Ned's profiles and copy what we've got going on there. But yeah, should be good.
Let's go.
But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Let's just turn that up for everyone.
Oh, it's the best part. The J Squad. Where's the J Squad remix? We've been asking for a free squad for ages. But it's funny, my youngest brother sent through the J Squad Pirates of the Caribbean remix to the group chat in a bit of a shout out to our J Squad banter last week.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Oh, yeah, well worth your while, you know, if that's what you're sort of into. I personally am a massive fan of Spazmeter and the Rugrats remix for all you listeners at home.
I remember both of those. You know, it is mind-blowing. That was two decades ago. The noughties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two decades ago, 20 years, 2001.
Yeah.
That's not when J-Squad was around, surely not. They were more like 2006, 07 flavor.
Well, it's like people who say Wayne Bennett has coached in 5 decades. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. Yeah.
It was two periods of time ago.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think, yeah, okay. I've got nothing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just getting thrown off by my audio at the moment. It's going in and out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Anyway,
I just want to listen to myself speak.
Yeah, of course you do.
Surely you've worked that out by now.
Yeah.
I'm all good.
All right, sweet. Mate, you know what I did? I went to Burley on the weekend.
Yeah, how was it?
New chicken shop has opened up there.
Chicken shop?
Yeah.
Like a specific chain or?
No. Guys who opened up Burley Pavilion have opened up their own chicken shop there.
They know what's up, don't they?
Oh, bruh. So it's in between, you know where the 7-Eleven is, and then you're walking towards that little street. I think it's called James Street.
I know Burley, so.
Yeah. It's opposite the Bowls Club, and you turn the corner there and there's a little smoothie shop. Mm. That corner, they've turned that into a chicken shop.
Gotcha.
Oh, my God, mate.
Unreal.
I was filled to the brim with chicken and loving it.
Talk me through it. Is it like a K-fry style? Is it more of a char grill type operation?
Charcoal chicken operation.
Right.
Very good.
I love chook.
I love chicken.
Yeah. How many times do you reckon you eat chicken a week in separate meals?
This week?
Yeah, or even use this week alone if you want.
Well, I had chicken snags last night. Going to have them again tonight, probably chicken again snags. Tomorrow. Mate, chicken sausages are underrated.
Right, okay.
Woolies has this one where they put a bit of feta in there. Ooh, damn dog.
I'm a sucker for chicken wings.
I love chicken wings of the Wicked Wing variety from our mate K-Fry. Yeah, obviously. Love K-Fry. And even just your standard buffalo wings, like buffalo sauce. Who was the genius? Who was like, you know what? This will work, combining all those ingredients. What a genius.
Nobel Peace Prize, I would imagine, because crosses so many cultures.
It does. You and know? Yeah, if you want to look, if you want to start a war, you can talk about condiments. That's one way to start a war. One way to finish a war is buffalo wings. Hey, guys, why don't we all just come together and just enjoy the goodness that is buffalo sauce on these delicious wings?
Woo up, everyone.
Yeah.
There's plenty of celery for everyone.
Yeah.
Blue cheese, buffalo sauce. You couldn't go wrong.
100%. And yeah, look, if you want to start an argument with your peers, maybe have a conversation in the workplace, a real try this at home type. Ask people what their opinions are on barbecue sauce and sweet chili sauce.
Get back to us.
Yeah.
Please do. But yeah, so I'm making my way through the menu. So I could highly recommend the chicken and gravy roll.
Oh, no brainer.
Yeah. And you could, you know what they did do? So I had chips in there, obviously, the gravy, the chicken, but a little dash of mustard in there, which gave it a little tang, which I liked.
Oh, yeah. I could, look, a mustard and gravy combination of condiments is not something that I've thought of doing before, but I could 100% get on board.
Yeah, it was good. And the gravy was very strong. Good chips.
Like a real strong chicken stock type gravy. Yeah. Like basically a liquid form of chicken salt.
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up.
This place is unbelievable.
I might get some K-Fry on the way up. Sign me up.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the highlight of my week.
Mm.
Because it certainly wasn't the punt. Because
yeah,
you know how we use that Braveheart analogy?
Yes, I know well and truly.
Yeah, it's about a month ago now. So I don't think I'm even Mel Gibson. I think I'm either the horse underneath him that's going to get absolutely banished, or I'm all the people behind him that's going to die, or in front of him that's going to die first.
You're a foot soldier that's in the front line, and you're taking the brunt of the English forces right now. The English forces being obviously a metaphorical representation of the bookies.
Oh, mate, it is unbelievable. I can't believe what's happening. So,
mate, yeah.
I heard chat during the week that Very Elegant was in season this last weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
I was like, give the punters a chance. Would
give
you please?
Us a chance.
And then what else did I hear? Heard Ingratiating was vetted before the race. Cleared for the race, but he clearly wasn't right.
No, he wasn't. Tell you what though, Ollie hasn't been riding them particularly well at the moment, which is concerning for the weekend.
Hey, he got home Special K.
Yeah. No, but Special K, doesn't matter who's on board. If he turns up to the races like, feel like winning today, mate, I could be on top of him. All bloody, oh, what am I at the moment? A nice, sharp, jacked 78 kilo. 78, the lightest I've ever been. Yeah, he'd be able to carry me home.
Did you hear him on the telecast though?
Special K. No, I didn't.
Ollie yelling him home.
I have heard that this week, yes.
My goodness. I can't believe how loud he is.
Mm. You can hear him in replays all the time.
Well, in the post-match interview, I guess, racing.com guy, whoever he is, Nigel, I believe his name is, does a good job actually. He's like, so how'd you go, mate? You know, oh yeah, you know, hit the front as he does. He has a bit of a think about it. So I just had a little bit of a whisper in his ear.
Yeah.
A whisper? Mate, we heard it in my lounge room.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, all of us north of the border certainly heard it. Yeah, the bookies had a cracking weekend for the most part on Saturday. Look, I was picking the eyes out of seconds. I was having a real Matt Dolab type weekend. But
speaking of him, he's taken the early lead in seconds on the Group 1 tally, which is good to see.
Yeah, to my point exactly. Some things change, but some things will never change.
No, that's exactly right. But yeah, that's my summary of the week.
Oh, mate, look, I'm keen to try out this charcoal chook place. I'm a sucker for chicken, so you know what? If I ever find myself in Burley, which to be honest, I do frequently enough, I'll have to partake.
You won't be disappointed. Let me know when you're going because there's about 3/4 of the menu that I haven't tried yet.
Do you want to live vicariously through me?
Please.
Okay.
All right. Ladbrokes?
Ladbrokes, yeah. We talk a little bit of shit about bookies, but one bookie we like is Ladbrokes, even though they probably took everyone to the cleaners on the weekend. And for the section this week, something that we brought up, I can't even remember what it was in relation to a couple of weeks ago on the podcast.
VE.
No duh. Clearly, she wasn't at her best on the weekend for whatever reason. She made the journey down south. You know. Sometimes, you know, the raids don't go as well. If you watched a replay of the Turnbull last year, she only barely beat home Toffee Tongue. And who else? Someone else who's, you know.
Finch.
Yeah, not a top Group 1 performing trifecta apart from very elegant.
Horse.
Yep. So you could argue that the journey from Sydney to Melbourne, maybe she just needs the run. She came up against a really good horse. Anyways.
She was on her rags? Is that what in season means? I don't know.
See, I thought we were a family friendly podcast. Daniel, but I guess so. Yeah, she's in season. But anyway, very elegant's a horse who I think her defining quality is her fighting quality. You know, when she'll get home, she charges home, she really does, but she doesn't have like an unreal turn of foot. She just gets up amongst the horses and is like, no, I'm going to beat you to the line.
Oh, God, yeah.
And do you know what that displays?
Ticker.
Big ticker, very elegant, enormous ticker. And the question that we wanted to ask for Ladbrokes this week was, how do you measure ticker?
How do you do it?
And I thought about this a little bit. And it's ticker is a matter of the heart, right? What else is a matter of the heart? Love.
Oh.
Can you measure love?
No.
But you can display it.
Mm.
And there's certain ways you can display love. Just like there's certain ways you can display ticker.
Oh, what a guy.
It's hard to measure. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to produce a formula which will give you the answer for X, X being ticker. But I tell you what, it's on display all the time in the sporting world.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. I suppose you can show like physical signs of love.
That's what I mean.
Children.
Yep.
You know?
You can give the ones you love a hug or a
smooch.
Or a bit of a smooch where appropriate.
Yes.
Not a fan of PDAs, so keep it behind closed doors, please.
You could hold a hand.
You can hold their hand, buy them a gift.
Yes.
This is displaying.
What's your love language?
Exactly. Actions of love. And ticker is similar. You can't really describe it.
No.
But you can display it through your actions.
Now, and this is applicable for equine athletes, mm-hmm. as we've aforementioned.
Yep.
Through grass athletes.
Yeah, those who grace the grass and those who grace the grass, otherwise known as turf, being horses.
Those in the ocean / swimming pools. They're everywhere.
Yeah, sharks show plenty of ticker.
You know what? You know who else shows ticker? Crowds and commentators as well.
Yep. Supporters, fans. Yep. There's ticker on display left, right and center. But you know what? We might be the self-proclaimed experts at being able to determine how much ticker's been shown.
Yes.
Mm.
Please. Can you please give us your first example or your first case study?
So my case study actually ties in very well to the horse racing that's coming up this weekend. Believe it or not, that's what we talk about. The Might and Power Stakes on the weekend. Now, Might and Power was an horse with a ton of ticker.
So much.
Incentivize in a similar mold. Take the lead and just keep charging.
So I've heard.
Mm. So Might and Power obviously won the Cup double. Can't remember what years, but he won the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup, the last gelding to do so.
What a guy.
And he showed plenty of ticker up front. He just led, created his own luck and just held off the challengers.
He did. Got out to a lead. Commentary was, can't possibly win from here. Turns out he did.
Tough horse.
Very tough boy.
Very tough boy, Martin Powell.
And rightfully, he should have a race named after him.
I think so too, mate. I think so too, which we'll talk about a bit more later.
100%. There's actually a really good horse in that race that I'm keen on this weekend.
I've got a tip for you guys. We might be on the same one.
Wow. Okay. You know, what time of year is it, mate?
Well, season time, very elegant, apparently. It's spring carnival time. It's grand final footy time, which, you know, it's just passed us by. But
what are we about to head into?
Cricket season.
Cricket season.
We are.
So if you were to look at, a batting lineup of your 11, who shows ticker in that lineup? Your opening batsman.
Oh, yeah. Opening batsmen need to have ticker in spades.
Because if you're going up against, Jofra Archer and a swinging ball from Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad.
Paddy Cummins.
On a bouncy deck.
Yep.
Who do you need at the crease?
You need someone with big heart.
You need a short, left-handed, definitely no frills batsman at the crease who's going to dig in for the nation.
Yeah, I can think of someone.
I can think of three for you.
Yeah. Always short lefties.
I have JL. He started this trend.
Simon Cattage.
There's another one I didn't think of. Simon Cattage.
He was lefty, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He had a bit more flair and
big side movement.
Yeah.
He was good though, Simon Cattage.
He was. He was very good.
Mm.
And our guy, Bucky Rogers.
Oh, I've got so much time for Bucky Rogers. Mate, big ticker, big moves on the dance floor as well, Bucky. Enormous.
So we've heard. Loves a bourbon and coke, Bucky. But, Graham Smith showed a ton of ticker. He's probably the leader in the ticker stakes.
You wouldn't, yeah, he'd be short odds. You wouldn't say he's short.
No, but he wasn't good to look at.
No, he wasn't.
He was an ugly batsman. All these batsmen are they're not easy on the eyes. They're no punter, let's put it that way.
Exactly right. Do you know who was up the top of the order who had big ticker as well and was also a big burly man? Real far-lap type. JL's partner in crime, Matty Hayden.
Hados?
Big ticker. Purely because he's a massive bloke.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I know what you mean.
Literally.
I know what you mean. And I was having this conversation with G, actually, last night when I was talking about ticker. And we're sort of talking about elite athletes and, some of the best of the best. Oh, you wouldn't necessarily some of them have ticker. They're just good. You know what I mean? Ticker's different.
Yeah, it is. Like, I reckon Bucky Rogers is like everything personified about ticker.
Yeah. Colorblind.
Colorblind. So he can't play night tests. Yeah. Impossible.
He was about 35 or 36 when the first night test came out. He's like, that'll do me.
Yeah. I'm going to pack it in here. Big arm guard because he gets hit all the time because he's not the most gifted athlete.
Hey, the more I think about it, the more I think about Bucky just being the personification of ticker. Let's make him our mascot. Let's get a picture of him somewhere. Colorblind. Plays one test when he's what, like 29, 30. Dropped into the wilderness. He's like, no, I'll still have a crack. Comes back at like 35, thrown into the deep end and ashes away in England. Mate, finishes with another 20 or 30 test matches he never thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
Probably what, half a dozen tons.
Mm.
Mate, did a job.
ABC grandstand career.
Oh, mate,
did his and job. And now he's Victoria coach, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he is.
And you know what else? What the other ticker that he showed, he was like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to pack it in. I played one test. I was playing for WA at the time. I was a leading run scorer. No. I'm going to go to Victoria and I'm going to bat on the hallowed turf at the MCG.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go over to England. And I'm going to
play a ton of cricket.
I'm going to play so much cricket that it's undeniable. My ticker.
Mate,
it's undeniable.
Would have walked away with an average in test cricket above 40, surely.
100%.
Which is, for an opener, playing a lot of cricket in England in a short period of time.
And he's, mate, he faced a lot of nut.
He faced so much nut.
Like, he was taking shine off nut left, right and centre.
Yeah, which is what you want. The perfect foil for Davey Warner.
Because, 100%. And, our middle order was shaky to say the least at the yeah. time.
Mate, it was like a house built on bloody leaves, honestly. There's no foundations there.
We could talk about Bucky Fagan.
Let's just do the rest of the podcast. I'm a big fan. I remember people were talking shit when he first came to the side. I was like,
hey,
give him a chance.
Yeah.
And he came through. You love to see it.
Of course he did.
Look, I watched a replay of this during the week because, you know, fitting based on the grand final, but it was the Souths versus Bulldogs grand final in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, Souths ended up running away with it. I'm pretty sure it was like even Stevens up until the last 15, 20 minutes, which is incredible.
Well, if you're going to lose a grand final, you may as well lose it by much. And you may as well have a crack trying to win
it. Yeah, very true. So 2 points out of that, I want to say. One, Sam Burgess took the first hit up of the game, broke his cheekbone.
Yeah.
In the first 10 seconds.
Well, that's what we talked about last week. Yeah.
Incredible.
I thought that was going to be what you talked about for grand final moments because that's what I remember out of that game.
Man, incredible.
It was forked.
Yeah, it was literally that. It was forked. So one, that obviously, that's huge ticker.
Yeah,
and obviously he was a great forward for the game. South fans, mate.
Unbelievable.
Huge ticker. Mate, two grand finals in the last 50 years. No, more like two in the last bloody seven.
Mm-hmm.
After being kicked out of the competitions, had to take to the streets, had to march for their cause.
Successfully, I might add.
Successfully. That's some ticker, mate. When your club's down and out, financial turmoil, you need Rusty.
Get him on the blower.
Yeah, get Rusty. Mate, we know you love this club. Can you save us with your squillions of dollars, please?
Sure.
But mate, South fans have ticker. Like, people pay them out all the time because they're prevalent, but they've got ticker. You can't deny that.
No. Absolutely. If you go to a Sunday afternoon game at the Gabba and it is the Lions versus Port Adelaide, there'll be a South supporter there.
Yeah.
In their kit.
Welcome. You're more than welcome.
Yeah.
Just love sport, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And they love their team that much that they just can't stand to wear another team's colours.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even if it's cross code, it's just like, no, I love the Lions. I'll get around them. But I want people to know who my real team is. Yeah.
South's had a win this weekend. I find that funny when you go to a cafe or something and the morning after, like a Sunday morning, and you'll just see this Collingwood like polo on. And I'm like, oh, must have had a win last night.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I have something that is, I'm going to put up in the post edit. I hope you haven't seen this because I saw this for the first time last night.
Okay.
So, you know where they show plenty of ticker is over in the UK. Like it or love it, they have their moments.
They do. Their supporters. I'm a big fan of English supporters. I know that's probably a pretty un-Australian thing to say, but, mate, the way they support their football teams, the way they support their cricket team.
Well, the Barmy Army would have to be the best travelling
100%
supporters ever.
100%.
You know where else they show ticker is in their commentary team. In rugby league games. Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh, I'm so excited to show you this.
Okay, do you want me to move my laptop?
All right, yeah. This is 2 minutes long. Minutes long, but we'll put it up and I guarantee it's worth it.
Okay.
This is the most biased commentary I've ever heard. So for context, Wigan, so that's who guy played for the Dragons.
Gareth Widdop.
Big James Red. Graham. Thank you. Played there, playing Castleford. Big rivalry by all reports, and here they come. So
this is an old game.
It is, but this is one of the great commentaries bits of all time. This gives Rabs a run for his money.
In the final and on in a game. Andy A. Oh, what about that? Send him off! Walk him, Campbell, if you've got any bottle. If you've got any bottle, Campbell, he should walk. That was absolute diabolical. He's going to be yellow card. I can't speak.
Hello.
So I just wanted to pause it because we're watching the rest of this.
Yeah.
Because it gets better.
Okay. Oh, geez. Okay.
So I just want to take a moment and just show how one-sided and one-eyed this commentator is.
Okay, yep.
What a guy. Anyway, let's keep Let's let the game.
You bottleless get, Campbell.
He's just going off with this bloke.
You bottleless get.
You get.
I can't speak. I should be sent off. Diabolical.
Diabolical.
Middleton in field. Come on, Cass, rub it in. Samson. Shugs one up. Shugs another. Still going. Nickow wants it down to your side. Oh, Steinberg, Steinberg. Oh, this is it. Palmer is a try. Shove it up yours. He's the best prop in the world. Never mind anybody else.
Never mind anybody else.
Run across forward, Russell. Russell forward back inside to Steinberg. He's set up like a three quarter. He's got an ages.
I can't speak.
Getting vaccinated?
Oh, where are you getting get vaccinated?
Mate, I've already been vaxxed.
Yeah, double vaxxed.
Oh, I can't speak. Oh, what a guy.
I don't know if that's ticker or just pure one-eyedness.
Nah, mate, that's ticker. That's ticker to...
Just loves his club.
You know, with absolute abandon for fair ruling and commentary. I loved it.
Mate, fair enough. I'm going to add one more quick one.
Please.
It takes serious ticker to look at your canoe in the Olympics. It's got a hole in it and think, you know what?
Need a dummy.
Jessica Fox, massive ticker, turns around, wins a gold medal. Well done.
What a girl. Sorry, I'm just going to connect this real quick. There we go. We're on here. All right. Beautiful. Well... what a segment it was. So, ticker, we will be bringing more ticker content to the show.
Yep. As well, Drifters, if you see anything on the weekend or you've got any ideas about ticker, you know, things you've seen, things you want to share with us, share with us.
Please do.
Slide into our DMs.
Do it.
We're officially naming ourselves the experts on ticker. Let's see how we go.
Please. All right. Plenty of Group 1 racing to get stuck into. Let's start in Melbourne.
Okay.
Let's start with the aforementioned Mind and Power Stakes. So, Wave for Age Group 1, 2,000 metres. Zaki's going to win. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good chance. he wins this, mate. I think he trots this in. Onto the Cox Plate.
Keen to see Nick Jack Cave if he's allowed to run because apparently he has a bit of a funny gait. He tried to run in Melbourne previously, but the stewards wouldn't allow him.
That's right. And I remember I was talking about him. Yeah, keen to see how he goes. Keen to see how nonconformist goes.
Yes, because he is on a Caulfield Cup path, I believe, if they're still heading that way. So interesting that they're running a week before. Must think it will enhance his chances. Poor old Prob Bill, I think she's in the wrong race here. But... I'm not Jamie Richards, but I would suggest on exposed form, she's probably going to be heading to the Empire Rose, not the Cox Plate.
I would suggest that'd be a better thing to do. Interesting thing about Zaki. So he's a Northern Hemisphere horse, obviously. He's 7. He's really 6 because of how they obviously age them differently, different hemispheres. But it's sort of rare from my experience to see a horse really hit their straps so late.
Ooh, yeah, Twilight Payment. He's 9, come back. He won at 8.
Yeah, I know, but that's one race.
Yeah.
And Zaki, we're saying, is the best horse in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, that's...
it's interesting. Like, no knock on him, obviously. I'm not an ageist.
Well, we don't have those battle-hardened Wait for Age geldings running
around. No, we don't.
Like, you looked at Hartnell. Like, you take Winks away, he wins another 5 to 10 races.
Yeah, true.
So it's like if he doesn't run into, you know, arguably the best of all time, you say that he's probably the best horse in Australia.
Mm.
So it's a matter of circumstance and you look at the last 20 years, we've had three dominant mares come through.
Which is crazy.
And they don't last that long. Winks is probably the outlier of all three of those.
Mm.
Maybe Maccabi Diva. But I don't think the Diva raced till she was like 7 or 8. Maybe she raced till 7. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Winks raced till she was 8, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think so, maybe 7.
Yeah.
But anyway.
On we go to the Caulfield Guineas, race of the day for mine. Cracking contest. Barriers are interesting here. 1,600 metres, three-year-old set weights. You have Animo at the top of the market at $2.60.
Mo!
And then you have Artorias at $4, and then it's double figures the rest. Animo from barrier 15. Ollie in the saddle.
Oh, I wasn't happy with the barrier draw. I'd say that there was other barriers I would have preferred to have drawn, like pretty much any other one.
Rail out 6.
No, rail's true.
Oh, apologies. I heard it was out 6.
Rail's true.
Rail's true. That's a positive.
It is a positive. You know what's interesting about Caulfield over the mile? Draw a barrier anywhere doesn't really matter. Caulfield plays pretty true if it's a good deck and if the rail's true. And if you draw wide but you're the best horse in the race, if there's enough pace on, you should have every chance. Don't know what it is about the Caulfield Guineas though. Mate, anything that's drawn out has a terrible record. And each race is different and each race profiles differently. But even looking at the speed map here, you don't have a ton of pace in this race, mate. You've got Lightsaber who go out, Tiger Malay maybe as well. So if it's run at a rapid pace, that brings the back markers in, obviously. Likes of Artorias, likes of Animo.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if they're going to get a rapid pace up front. What are your thoughts on Artorias drawing barrier 2?
I definitely think they'll try and use it. Whether they can use it's another thing.
Yeah, whether he wants to.
yeah, because, you know, he's a bit sleepy, the old boy.
He wakes up with about 100 metres to go and runs it in like 2 seconds.
Well, mate, he's hungover all the time.
Yeah, he's pissed, Artorias. If he wasn't such a piss hound, I'll tell you what, Artorias would be a superstar.
Obviously, we're joking. But, you know, I have a lot of love for that horse. But I'm smelling an upset here.
Mate, I'm smelling an upset too, and you know I love my guy, Mo. But, mate, do you know what else I don't like? Ollie on board.
Wow.
I don't like Ollie on board. Mate, if you look at his last 3 or 4 metro meetings in Melbourne, mate, barely riding anything. I'm not just like he'll run one winner and then everything else will be like bottom half of the field. Which I think's unusual for Ollie, but he's in really bad form. Animo will need nothing other than a 10 out of 10 ride, in my humble, to win this race. Mate, no knock on Ollie. He's a champion. But I just don't know if his form's good enough right now for me to trust that he's going to give this a 10 out of 10 ride, especially when there's not a lot of pace in the race. Do you know who I think was completely out of luck last start, who is the forgotten horse in this race, who's drawn perfectly and will sit up on pace, gets the blinkers back on, has form around Startantes, who's run super well last two runs. Queenslander, Alpine Edge.
Okay.
Mate, if you watch a replay of his last start, drew the inside, Craig Williams on top, just when he went to kick out and come out, found a horse on his right, horse in front of him, another horse in front of him. Couldn't get out, but looked like he just wanted to explode. Start before that, 4 wide the trip. I was up here in sunny Queensland, at Doomben. 4 wide the trip. Sartentes basically just took a sit and just got home on the inside. From all reports from the Edmonds stable, this fella will thrive at the 1600. They've been targeting this his entire prep. Blinkers go on. Draws super well, will be up on pace. Mate, I think he'll be in it for a very long time. Could get absolutely mowed down by Artorias. Could just run past him. It's like, see ya, bruh. But, mate, I am – and this is me. This is me this weekend. Apart from the Might and Power Stakes, a.k.a. Zaki's Free Money Stakes. I've got a rock on me left. I've got a hard place on me right. I'm between two horses in basically all the group ones. It's ridiculous. I'm tossing up between Animo and Alpine Edge, and I've just got a sneaking suspicion about Alpine Edge.
Okay.
Gut call.
Well, you're in cracking form, so I won't talk you out of it. I think there's another horse here that has been targeted this race. A horse that went down in trip to the Golden Rose last start. I think Tiger and Malay is in this race up to his ears.
Yep.
Now, that might mean nothing to all the punters out there because I can't tip a winner to save myself.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
So, but I think the $12 on offer for this horse is, I reckon that's good value. ran second at 1500, got mowed down by Giannis, who is a silly price in this race for mine as well. But you look at his last prep, his best run was over the 1600. They rode him too far back where he ran behind Converge in Queensland. I think this horse is just an out-and-out miler. Willow on board.
He's in great form.
Barrier one, I think he's just going to get a sneaky good race run and he's just going to sit behind the leaders, take a little sit, move out, give her a bit of a wiggle room, bang, bang. Thanks for coming.
Mate, I think Tiger Malay is a good bet in this race. What are you getting for him at the moment with Laddies? You're getting about $12. Alpine Edge, you're getting about $16. Yeah. Mate, if I had a bigger set of nuts, I would go Alpine Edge on top. I'm tossing up between him and my guy Mo. I'm speaking out of my pocket with Mo. I got him at Futures at a much better price than the $2.60 on offer at the moment.
Sure.
And he's obviously one of mine. If he drew barrier like 6 or 7, I'd be all over him like a rash. With Ollie on board, he could absolutely kill these. He really could. But I'm just tossing up between him and Alpine Edge.
Sure.
Artorias is in my numbers too.
Well, I've left Animo out of my numbers. I have a feeling it could be leaderish. I don't know. It's complete gut feel, and my guts let me down previously.
Hey, your luck will turn.
Hey, but if it is leaderish, I think Tiger Malay will win. I've got Giannis on running into second at the $21 on offer because they rode him back last start, but when he beat home Tiger Malay, he was in the first half of the field. So I reckon they'll ride him back on speed. And I can't leave out my old mate, Artorias. So
party bus.
Yeah, the party bus is going to get, run into the money. Anyway, we have someone who we need to call very soon. So
Toorak.
Let's get cracking on the Toorak. 1,600 meters again, handicap. Got short price favorite in I Am Thunderstruck. You're leaning his way?
I am between him and Elephant, the two at the top of the betting. This race looks pretty good from Thunderstruck. Seems to be some good pace. He draws well, sit close. He was electric in his finish last start in the Rupert Clark.
Yes.
Lightly weighted, get some weight off the likes of Sierra Sue who won the Rupert Clark. I think he'll be incredibly hard to beat. I do really like Elephant though. He's carrying a bit of extra weight, draws really well, will be up on pace, creating his own luck. Looks a super horse. Only lost one race, and that was to Superstorm on a soft deck. If he gets a dry deck here, I think Elephant will be right in the finish. So, again, rock, hard place, and between those two, I think Superstorm will run a cracking race too.
Me too. Mm. One thing I did do looking through I Am Thunderstruck because I want to get it beaten, was look through the horses that have won who ran in that race and then have gone on to win. So in his last five runs, only two horses have gone on to win after that. So I'm not sure he's actually been versing that much.
Mm.
And granted, he ran a cracking race in the Group 1 down in the weights, has no weight on his back here. John McNeil, absolute star of the jockeys. But, mate, why isn't Elephant just going to... Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he just shake his big grey trunk for the hell of it?
Mate, I think he's carrying, 55.5 kegs. Three more than I'm Thunderstruck. I don't think that's that big of a deal for an on-pacer over 1,600 metres. And he looks a cracking horse. They're talking about Cox Plate for him, mate.
Yeah, he's out of shocking, so he's going to be
Melbourne Cup winner. There you go. I didn't know that.
Bloody tough. bloody tough horse. So
Damien Lane on board. Don't think he's ridden a Group 1 winner yet, so he's due this season.
Well, of the 7 or 6 or 8, I think 6 of them have been Daniel Moore and
Brady Preb, my guy.
So in Melbourne at least. But yeah, I reckon Elephant's going to run a cracking race here. And you know what? I've also looked through my Group 1 tips to date for this season, and the majority have been backmarkers, and they've been doing – I'm off them. I'm off them.
What have I told you before, mate? You want to be up on pace.
So, Elephant on top for me. I also have Superstorm running into the money. And who else did I like? I think Harvey Views.
Done nothing wrong.
Bit flat last start against Elephant, but, you know, he was cracking first up.
He was.
So on we travel to...
We're flying up north to Sydney, aren't we?
Yeah, the Spring Champion. Racing 2 for mine.
Agreed.
So 2,000 metres, 3-year-old set weights again. This is where bloody Lions Roar nearly...
Imagine that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so Lions Roar was, what, 30s, and I picked Bucharest at 30s, and they ran into the placings.
Yeah. Montefilia. Crushing our souls.
Yep.
But you get that on the big jobs. So you have Profondo, who I've never seen a horse be that green in a Group 2 before.
He has a talent in him, though. He's going to be a special horse. I just don't know if he's special enough to win this so early on in his career.
Yeah, have you seen his breeding, though? Deep impact.
Your guy.
Deep impact. Deep impact out of reduced choice. Well, the mare.
That's why it costs $1.9 million, mate.
Unbelievable. So are you siding with him?
You know what? I'm not. I'm going with Head of State because I think he looks unreal for this race. Man, he's got some decent breeding too out of American Pharaoh. Thanks for coming. My only concern is I hate when the rail's out this far at Randwick because it just suits your leaders and on paces to a T. And that's where I know Profondo's going to be. He's going to be up on pace. So I think he'll look the winner for a hell of a long time. But Head of State looks for this. Bit of Chris Waller magic. J-Mac on board. Hopefully sit about midfield. Stalk, kick, win. So I'm with Head of State. I think Profondo runs into second. Again, rocking a hard place. I've thought long and hard about him. But I think he'll be a special horse for maybe in about 6 months' time. And you know what? I think Benno might be my tip for the Derby, watching him last start. But look, I think Never Been Kissed will run a cracking race because she'll be up on pace. And watch the replay of the Flight Stakes last start. Mate, she had the run of the race, but she led for most of it and then still kicked away. Looks like a tough horse. I think the 2,000 metres will suit. So she wouldn't shock me. So yeah, I'm with the three at the top of the market. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I've got... Very rarely, I think I put up something on the Instagram about this race. I think, let me just quickly get it up. So only one horse has won since 1993 when finishing worse than the top three in their lead up run. So one since 1993, that's a long time.
It's been a long time.
So I'm with Head of State. I think he's just more of the polished product.
Mm.
J-Mac on back, who's in ripping form. Profondo into second, and I have Richie into third as well.
Richie Benno.
So, alrighty, it is that time for us to get the Drifter of the Week on the line. Hopefully he's still willing to come on because we've been talking a lot of dribble today.
Hello.
Matt, how you going, bruh?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming on. Matt Smith for The Uneducated, one of the great workers in Brisbane of all time. Works with my better half, Prue, at SCA. But, mate, before we get into your tips, you owned a bit of a horse that... had some heartbreak on Derby Day 1 year, didn't you?
Yes, I wondered whether you would bring this up and just break my heart in front of all the drifters. But yes, Sharon Invincible Star. So that day, I'll always remember that day. And Derby Day every year is the worst day of the year because Tab and all of the pages on Facebook tend to bring that view up where Merchant Navy comes out of absolute nowhere and just gets it on the line.
So that's heartbreaking because she was a good little filly, Invincible Star. What was it like to own her? Because she was trained by Gay Waterhouse.
Yeah, so Gay Waterhouse, so typical of Gay, she jumped and led most races. But, yeah, she did pretty well for herself, the second in the Coolmore. From memory, she ran a fifth in a Manicato and a third in a Thoroughbred Club Stakes at Caulfield, so she did pretty well for herself. But just that one will always be there, that second in the Coolmore.
It's all right, mate. It's just, you know, there's plenty of room to find another one if you're lucky enough.
Yeah. Crikey. And another one of that quality, yeah.
That's it. All righty, Bray, let's get cracking into some tips, some thoughts. What do you reckon about the Group 1 racing and some better bets across the day? We'll start at Caulfield in the Might and Power. Surely you've got Zaki on top.
Yeah, this one was pretty easy. I don't have too much to say. I'll probably just be watching this one. Zaki looks the class. And I think we'll do it fairly easily. Even though that run in the Underwood didn't look like it won by a mile. I think it'll do it pretty easy here. And I think similarly, Probville will follow it home, like it did in the Underwood.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think it was just, you know, having a bit of a look around. Mm. He was that relaxed. He was just, you know, oh, the running rail's there, might just go join it. Mate, what about the Toorak? A bit tougher. A few decent horses in this one.
Yeah, a few in here. It was hard to sort of narrow it down, but as I sort of dove a bit deeper, I was having a look at the form out of the Rupert Clark. And I think I'm going to go with I'm Thunderstruck here. I really liked its run in the Rupert Clark. It jumped from barrier 16, so they had to go to the back straight away. Got to the turn and had to go around all of them and then copped the biggest check I think I've seen for a long time, just as it was starting to get going, but it continued to get up and ground away for a third. I think this time it jumps out of a better barrier. So you'd imagine that it sits a bit closer. And I think the way it finished off in the Rupert Clark, I think it goes on and wins here. Probably so much so that this is actually going to be my best of the day.
Wowee.
I'll throw that in early.
You heard it here first. Well, he'll win this and then he'll go on to the Golden Eagle and win that. So
yeah,
easy done. Mate, what about the – what's the other one?
The Guineas, the Caulfield Guineas,
Caulfield
mate.
Guineas. I've left it behind.
How could you forget this one? Got your boy in it. I think, yeah, I was probably on Animo until the barrier draw and then – as a lot of people, I think, were. And then I think barrier 13 is a big ask. So I'm actually going to go Artorias here. As you mentioned last week, when it ran in the Golden Rose, it had a massive job to do coming from the back of the field and then had to go around that lame horse and essentially run right in front of where the spectators would have been. So it picked up and probably finished best of the top five or six. So I definitely think barrier two here helps and should land in a better position. So I think Animo is definitely going to be there, but I'm looking to take Artorias to beat Animo. Probably even have a Quinella of those two.
Yeah, beautiful. That's a good play. I love to hear that. And the final one, mate, is the Spring Champion in Sydney.
Yeah, this was probably the hardest one, I reckon, just because everyone looks to be loving Profondo, but I'm just not sure, especially last start. It was all over the place in the straight. I mean, you could argue that it probably beats Head of State if it stays on and doesn't go wayward. But I'm going to take Head of State here. I just like the run. He just looked to knuckle down when he was asked. Probably running next to Profondo, it makes Head of State's run look a bit better, but he's well into his prep now, so he'll have fitness on his side. J-Mac jumps on board, which is always a plus. So I'm going to take head of state there.
All good points. Couldn't have said it better myself. So, mate, what we'll do now is head on to some bets across the program on the weekend. So what's your value play of the day?
So my value play is at Randwick Race 9, Wonderbar. So it's currently at $12. And I'm just having a look. It's a pretty wide open field, wide open race at the moment. She's got a pretty good first up record, 3 wins from 4 starts. And won a nice trial 3 weeks back. I mean, it was only at Scone, but wasn't really asked to do much and won by sort of half a length. So I think that sets her up nicely here. And, yeah, in a wide-open race, I think it's performed pretty well in the past. Got a lightweight, so probably a good one to have a bit of money on late in the day, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I was contemplating Sweet Deal, Madam Legend, Minaj, Wonderbar, Tricky Gal, great news. I found that race impossible.
Yeah, I liked Bellucci Babe in that race. So it was a bit on.
Plenty there.
Mm. Yeah. What about your each way, mate?
I'm looking at Caulfield Race 3, Age of Chivalry at $14. So it resumes here with an okay first up record, but has gone pretty well in this class in the past. It's placed twice from 3 starts. Its last prep was not the best, but the prep before included a second to Homesman in a Crystal Mile and 4th to Mr. Quickie in the Toorak last year. So it's run with some pretty good horses. The query there is the favourite, Lombardo, been working his way through the grades nicely and has had a couple of nice wins its last 2 starts. But out of anything, I'm happy to take it on. I mean, each way even. If the favourite doesn't perform at this grade, I think it's a chance.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good case you've made. That's much better form than what the rest of these have done. So, yeah, no, it's a good play. And then, yeah, your best of the day is in the Toorak.
Yeah, I went a bit early with that, but, yeah, my best of the day is on Thunderstruck. I think it just wins.
We love to hear it. All right, well, thanks for coming on, mate. We'll get a Ladbrokes pack to you for coming on. Thanks for that.
Perfect. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
Thanks for listening.
All right. So easy. See you, boys.
Hooroo.
See ya.
All righty. I love to hear that. It's some good cases he made, mate.
Mate, you know what? He's welcome back anytime.
He is. So sucks about Merchant Navy, but.
Yeah, you know one man who doesn't mind that at all?
J-Mac.
Josh McClelland. Of course he was.
What a ride.
He was, yeah, right up there with the best I've ever seen.
Has to be. But please, Juicy Stakes time. But if you're having a bet this weekend, punters, drifters even, what you need to do is do it responsibly. If gambling is an issue for you, you can ring the gambling help hotline on 1800 858 858. And you can also visit their website for more details if you need. But your value play of the day, DJ.
Mate, am I allowed to put Alpine Edge as my value play of the day if I'm going to have an each way on it and also a saver on Animo? Will we allow that?
It has to be on top selection in
for the G1s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go for it.
Oh, he's done it.
Nah, I can't commit to that right now. Actually, I don't have the stones for that right now. You know what? Do you know what's throwing a spanner in the works for me?
Please.
If you go to race 4 in Caulfield, number 4, Robodira, was over $10 when I was doing the form. Now it's come into $8.50. So it's not really a value play of the day. Going up against Crystal Bound and Shy Honker, who both look to be really, really talented fillies. But Robodira, last start, pulled up lame, forgive, ran second to Jamea before that. Mate, Brady Preble on board, barrier 2, every chance. It's going to be my value play of the day, but it's about $8.50.
That's fine. I'll allow it because
Cheer-hoo, baby.
I'm making up for it for you. So let's have a look here. Oh, who's entered the chat? I believe Leroy might have. Oh, I've done it again.
Leroy Jagger!
We got one.
We have a Leroy on our hands here. I want you to go to the last race at Caulfield, race 10 on the program.
Okay.
Might not be a Leroy, but, you know, he's. I thought he was over $20, but, you know, he's come in a little bit, a smidge. So he might be a Leroy on the day, but in the Herbert Power, what winner of this gets a run in the Caulfield Cup. What's King of Lyrgrens done wrong?
I don't know. Has he been a naughty boy?
No. He's $18 though.
Yeah, well, he's run behind the likes of Fighting Artist, Defibrillate, and Persan his last start, so could
that's,
be worse.
That's 1,700, which isn't his cup of tea.
Nah, it's not. He wants 24 at least.
At least. So he gets that here. And second, you know who we beat home first up?
Who?
Young Werter.
Oh, Young Werter. Jeez.
That form is sticking up.
How's me putting him in my numbers?
Well done. Start? Well done.
Didn't have a cent on him.
Couldn't care less because VE was just crushing my soul running, you know. But yeah, King of Leogren. So I think he is right on the path here. Pretty lightly raced for a 7-year-old. I think he's a cracking bet at the $18 on offer.
Excellent. My each way is in the Silver Eagle, race 7 in Randwick. Last start winner, number 6, Ellsberg.
Mm. I found this race really difficult.
I thought it was difficult too, but, mate, it had no luck at all in its last start. Still won. Put away a decent field. Academy. Not a bad horse. Getting about $6 with ladies at the moment for Ellsberg. Jumps really well from the barrier. Think every chance.
I nearly put my each way bet in this race. It was nearly going to be Amish Boy.
Yeah.
And then I realised what I was doing and then I didn't do that.
Yeah, he's not backable for me.
Like if I was going to have a bet in that race, it would be him. But he's 1 from 18.
Yeah.
That's probably all you need to know.
I think there's a little bit more value for Ellsberg because he's going back in distance. But, you know, drops a little bit of weight, draws well. So I think he'll be right in the finish.
Love to hear it. I want you to go to the Toorak. We've already talked about this. My boy Elephant.
He's at an each way price.
He is.
The big fella.
You know, I think he's just going to shake his... and just stomp into victory, you know. Don't sue us, Kevin. But, yeah, I reckon he's a good player. And who's your best?
My best is in race 5 in the Roman Consol, Paul L.
Same.
There you go.
Paul Ailey.
They want to get this thing into the Everest. Stable thinks super highly of it. It's either going to be it or trekking. Ran a second to in the Congo. Know what he went and did next start. Ran a second to Home Affairs, who's already in the Everest, which I think is a great shout for the Everest at that price. Yeah, Pulele, Pulel, whatever.
Yeah. You know who I'm really keen to see in this race is O President for Waller.
Okay.
Like, Pulele's my bet, my best of the day, but O President, I was going to back this horse in the slipper until it got scratched because it was lame.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what it can do on good ground, which it hasn't raced on yet.
What's your guy sort of state going to do?
He's going to be better, but his ultimate target is the Coolmore. So happy to have him around. Pulele needs to fire here to get into the Everest.
I think he'll be ready to go.
Because they have a ready-made horse in Trekking as a backup, basically, which is a bit disrespectful to the big fella.
Oh, I think Trekking would... run top half of the field in the Everest.
You know, you've gone top 6 for sure. For sure. All right. Yes. Always tend to forget this.
Yep.
One of the great tipping comps of all time. We're going to do it in Melbourne this week because there's more group ones there. Double points in the group ones. Give a tip in each race. 3-2-1. 3 if you're the winner. 2 if you run second. 1 if you run third. Pretty self-explanatory. But yeah, shoot that through for your chance to win a laddie's hat, a stubby cooler, some socks,
and a pen.
And a pen and a tote bag.
Yep.
It's great stuff.
Get on board.
Get on board. Also, some exciting stuff. We're going to do a collab with the great Mugs Punting this weekend. So this Sunday, we're recording a spring features episode with the Mugs. They're going to come into the studio. We're going to do some of our best work. And we're going to preview some of the big races of the spring. So that will be out either Sunday night or Monday in the lead up to the Everest and the Caulfield Cup, in case you need some of my useless information.
Same.
But you've been going pretty well. So, you know, that info will be all time.
There is so much footy left to play.
There is. But I believe that's all.
Yeah. Thanks, Drifters.
Thanks, guys. Hooroo.
Bye.